Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Lee of TripleCountContra.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Condiment Ali of ContimentAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Madam Nadia of CrowleyMoon.com in Chicago, Illinois. They will take your calls and offer advice to prevent, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Condiment Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. So nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
How are things in lovely Florida?
They are doing just great. We are up in the panhandle, as you know, so we get a really nice change of seasons up here. And many of our oak trees are shedding their leaves, and we're certainly getting ready for a wonderful week in the panhandle. We have the 31st and then the 1st and then, of course, the 2nd. So we've got a busy week coming up, so really looking forward to it. And thank you so much for asking. How are things out at Lucky Mojo, Miss Kat?
Oh, we're doing a lot of things, and I've got a lot of announcements to make, so just bear with me, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
And those who follow us on Facebook will know we've had a few fantastic upgrades to the shop. We got a wooden file cabinet, which for those who are going through love problems, for those who are going through divorces, for those who wonder, you know, will I ever have a good life again now that I've had this horrible breakup, I can tell you, it may take a while, but you will end up with the wooden file cabinet of your dreams after your no-good son-of-a-bitch husband took the wooden file cabinet and left you with the goddamn banged-up paint-flaking black metal file cabinet. It may take you some time, but you will end up with a good wooden file cabinet. I stand as testimony to that, okay? Number one. Number two, the dreams you had that were deferred by the horrible divorce from the son of a bitch of having a beautiful brass, bronze National Cash Register from 1914 on your countertop will come true. They will come true. You can do it. Save $5 at a time for 20 years. You will have that beautiful National Cash Register that you now love and wish and think you'll never have. Yes, you can survive divorce. It will take time. Okay. That was my encouraging news for the day. Okay. Save the money in a Bible. Save the money in an envelope. Save it $5 at a time. And just don't lose that dream. Don't say, because of that no good son of a bitch husband that destroyed my economic base and ruined my company and blah, 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 my life is ruined. Don't do that. Just say, going forward now, and keep going. Get a new magic carpet. Get a new lover, and then start saving that money. Don't hold that new lover and that new husband up and say, because I blah, 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 I never got my wooden file cabinet. Just keep on saving those $5. You will have it. Okay? That was the news. That was the And it's more than just a pretty cash register. It was a dream deferred, and it's a dream come true. So you can all look on Facebook to see what I'm talking about. Number two, we were down at a gem show over the weekend, Nagashiva and me, the beautiful husband who helped with the saving for the beautiful wooden file cabinet and the beautiful cash register. The beautiful husband and I went shopping, and we brought back a bazillion cool things, bones, things carved of bone, fabulous little African goodies, and we will be announcing those on Facebook as we give them SKUs and get them out on the shelves. And those who follow us in the forum can also see just a lot of different new amulets. It was amulets all the way, plus a lot of spheres, different kinds of jasper, more kinds of jasper than a mineralogist can count.
A heavy haul.
It was a heavy haul, that's right. All right. So that's what we've been doing. And another announcement I want to make, which is that those of you who know about the Tarot Guild and New Life Radio, and some of you do, know who Cooch Daniels is, K-O-O-C-H, Daniels. Cooch Daniels has invited me to be a guest on her radio show on Halloween. And Nagashiva is posting the URL right now. It's tarotguild.com/hoodoo. And so I will be a guest on Cooch Daniels' show for an hour and a half on Halloween, if you all haven't had enough radio already. And that's going to be fun. I met Cooch at the Bay Area Tarot Symposium, BATS, and it's nice to do that kind of outreach between the Tarot world and the hoodoo world of readers. And I kind of straddle and work in both worlds. So,
are you going to be reading on the show, or what is the show going to be?
You know what's actually, I think they're going to be asking me about how hoodoo readers are different from or the same as people in the Anglo-European tradition, American Anglo-European. Yeah, and I'm going to be talking about different forms of divination that appear in hoodoo and how, I don't want to give away everything I'm going to tell them, but, the word
right.
L.W. De Lawrence will cross my lips, okay?
Bone reading, maybe? A little bit of bone reading?
Well, we're going to talk about all that kind of stuff. But I'm also going to talk about... See, there's this whole idea that cultures are so split apart, but they're not. And
right.
Even though segregation wreaked a tremendous amount of havoc in America, the occult world was less segregated than, say, the world of marriage or the world of job opportunities. And so I'm going to talk about some of that. Like I said, just look for the name L.W. De Lawrence to go floating through the air, and it'll all make sense to everybody. All righty. So that's my announcements. And Ali, what's up with you?
Oh, it's been a wonderful week down here in Southern California. I actually got a chance to, I was on the forums recently, and I saw those West African pennies. Very, very cool. If people haven't checked it out yet, definitely check it out. You can go, and I think you posted pictures of it right onto the forum in the amulet section. Highly recommend it. In the bone reading thread, they look really cool, and I fully intend to. I'm not a bone reader myself, but I love, reading about it academically and then, playing around with it, but I am absolutely going to be ordering some of those to include in my collection down here, so I look forward to that. It's been busy. It's been one of those weeks where I have lots and lots of clients, and it's all about love work again for some reason for me. Looking forward to Halloween, All Hallows Eve. It's actually Santísima Muerte's feast day, Day of the Dead, of course. So we'll have some beautiful things up for that day over the next few days. Look for some updates on my blog as what's going on with the Day of the Dead and what type of festivals and celebrations that we'll be having.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, in the forum's chat room, Candle Magic, Tricia asked us, are we going to be doing anything special for Halloween? And Nagashiva answered, hey, it's Halloween all day, every day at the Lucky Mojo Shop. But, it is traditional for us on Halloween that those who are working that day dress up, and so you can see us with strange hats, okay? Come down to the Lucky Mojo shop.
What are you going to wear, Kat? Tell us. Give us a hint.
Oh, well, just, I haven't decided. We have a large collection of strange hats. So, yeah. I don't want to give any secrets away. Okay. So, but I will be also locked up in doing that radio show during part of the day. All right. Well, our guest today is the lovely Madame Nadia. Madame Nadia, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. We love it when you're on, and just nice to have you back. So tell us, what is new in Cowrie Moonland? I just gotta say here, the last time you were on the show, your URL was so long. I'm not even gonna give it, but it was one of those things that started with blogspot, blah blah blah, forward slash, blah 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 blah, and I just hate that stuff, and it's hard to remember. And so this morning, Nagashiva, as a present to you, went and bought CowrieMoon.com, because we're tired of the blah 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 forward slash.
Oh my goodness!
Thing.
You guys, absolutely wonderful, and I'm so blessed. You know, as you all know from my wonderful accent, my family is far, far away, and it's wonderful to have my family here. And you guys are my family, and you came through for me many a time, and this is just very sweet, and I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. We just got tired of that long URL. It violates Kat Ironwood's principles of business to have a long URL. And Nagashiva made it a rollover, so it leads right to your Blogspot account if anyone just goes to CowrieMoon.com. Thank God. And he paid for it for 5 years, and then he gives you ownership, and go forth and prosper, okay? Because we love you, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you. With that blessing, I know it's just going to be exploding with clients. That's good.
Okay. All right. Well, you are our resident strange card collector. I'm the strange hat collector, but you're the strange card collector.
Oh, yeah. And this is the time to be strange, right? This month, especially a full year, we feel all this amazing energy coming through. And I was very lucky because I came across two absolute amazing pieces of artwork that is so different from everything else that's out there, and is also very interesting because it's coming from a different place, you know. A lot of times we see decks created by tarologists, by people in the community who we all know and appreciate. But I found a couple of really, really cool things by chance in places I wasn't expecting to. So one day it was probably 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was searching something on Google, because this is kind of the thing that I do, and I don't even know how, but I found images of this amazing deck, and I've never seen anything like that. It was a fortune-telling deck that looked like illustrations, and It had this amazing colors, and it had letters of the alphabet, and I've never seen anything like that. So I decided to investigate, and going from one link to another link, I found the creator of the deck, which was very, very cool.
And what is the name of the deck?
The name of the deck, talking about complicated names, is Madame Bubukovsky's Fortune Telling Cards, and it's made by an illustrator. Her name is Amelie Jakovsky, and I posted the name in the chat room, and she is an illustrator of children artwork, children books in France.
Wow.
And I contacted her. I found some information. There was no PayPal because I was like, okay, I'm buying it right now. I don't care how much it costs. This is just too cool. So I emailed her, and after 2 weeks, I received a response, and she said, hi, Nadia. You know, I don't know how much it's going to cost to ship it. What is your address? Let's swap something. So I sent her my address, and again, several weeks passed. I figured she's just busy. And then one day, I opened my mailbox, and I have this beautiful package with the cards in it and a note. And I was just floored. This was kind of like today, so it was the month of gifts. And I am absolutely loving these cards. What she did was very different. She has sort of two parts to them. There is the trumps that have images and names, And then the rest of the cards have alphabetical letters, and the images go by the same by a word that starts in the same letter in English and French.
Wow.
And it's totally, it has this illustration, children's illustration look with a lot of beautiful use of dead space. It's very uncluttered. It's very, very unique. And it's been absolutely amazing to read with. She has her old technique of how to use it, but I just use it, and it's been amazing to try to find the right remedy. Because I have the dice, and I have a nose, and I have an urn, and I have a table, and Ferris wheel, and a hand. And it's just amazing. It just flooring me every time. So I've been in touch with her, and we swapped readings on Skype. I got to meet her and to interview her, so I'm waiting for some free time to be able to write about it.
Wow.
So this is one of the decks that I'm having with me today, and another deck also coming from an illustrator slash musician slash cabin maker and a couple of other things, and it's called The Wild Unknown Tarot. And again, it's done in sort of illustrator approach from a person who is not really in the tarot community. And it looks almost like it's been drawn with a pen. And it's all about animals and feathers. It looks very natural, yet the images look like they're almost moving. It's almost like an animation.
Then
some color that looks like watercolor. And both of these decks come and are being sold in different places. This, the Tarot deck, is being sold in very sort of hip online boutiques. They're not even trying to get to the Tarot community or whatever. And I think that both of these decks are going to be kind of limited edition maybe, but they read amazingly, and I've been really enjoying it.
The Wild Unknown Tarot, and who did that?
Yeah, and
who's the artist?
It's called, they are called also the Family Band, and I'm going to put, I think it's a husband and wife or two partners, and the female, her name is, let me see, because I'm hoping maybe I can also get an interview with them. I think her name is Kim, but I'm not sure. And they have really nice, interesting music, and they just came up with a video clip that's called Moonbeams, and it's a story about two skeletons that come out of the grave to play together during the day, and they steal a little skateboard, and they go together. It's a love story, and they swim in a pool. It has a very unique sort of funny look to it, and then they go back together into the graves, and the guy kind of says to the girl, well, come back with me, and they go together into the same grave. It's very sweet. It's very appropriate for the time of the year.
Yes,
there's
very
a gentle sense of humor, so it's pretty cool.
How interesting. Well, I went to the Ames, Professor Ames posted the URL, and it's thewildunknown.com. And then there's a bunch of forward slashes that should go away in their lives, and maybe they would if they knew better. But anyway, thewildunknown.com. And the art is very interesting, very interesting art. And the woman who does it is Kim Kranz. So, yeah, thank you for bringing these to our attention because, you know, there are people who are tarot card collectors and who love this sort of stuff, and I am definitely one of those people. I love to look at new decks all the time. And as you pointed out, some of these will be limited edition. You know, there's always, you know, we're always so used to U.S. Games and Llewellyn and these decks that stay in print for 100 years, like the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. But some of these decks are art decks, and they come and go. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. I really appreciate that. All righty. Well, it's time for us to get started with our readings for the day. And so let's give ourselves over to the tender mercies of Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, it's that. And a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your host, Catherine Arnwood. and Condiment Ali, and this week's special guest, Madam Nadia, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. And our first client is calling in from Colorado Springs. This is Lilith, and I'm just pulling this right up here real quick. Lilith 72. Lilith, are you there, caller?
I am.
Hi, great. Welcome to the show, Lilith 72 from Colorado Springs.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief synopsis of your situation for our hosts and let them know that you have had a reading with Conjurman Ali before, either privately or on the radio show, either about this or another issue, and the answer to that is no, okay?
Correct.
So she writes, I left an unhealthy relationship a few years ago when the recession really started to hit. So I had trouble finding a job, and I've had to move numerous times. I feel that I've worked very hard to get myself spiritually and mentally straight once again and have found a job where I could have worked, but not the situation. A few months ago, I got the strongest feeling that my time here was done and I should look for a new opportunity in Denver, where I'm from, to begin a new phase in my life. So far, I've not had much luck with securing a new job. I'd like a reading to determine if I maybe have misread my intuition. If I have not, I'd love some root work suggestions to possibly speed up the process, as I believe that I should be moving by the end of this year. I've done some spell work, but honestly, I have a real problem with concentration. Could this be the problem? Turning it back over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Lilith. I'm going to ask a couple of questions here. You're looking
sure.
for a job in Denver, but you are still in Colorado Springs. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
And you want to find that job before you move, and you want to be able to move by the end of this year. Is that
correct?
That I understood all of that? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So the question is there anything holding you back? I'm going to make this a real short reading because I think what we're going to concentrate on giving you some good advice on what to do, and it's a question that a lot of people face. So the first card I have here is a card that tells me, actually, it is going to be a little while before you find this job. It's the Three of Wands. And this is a magician standing on a hill looking out over a bay of water or a big wide river with three wands or staffs. He's holding one with one hand and the other two are in the ground, and it's sunset. And three little ships are coming in. So this is a delay. And it usually can be read as a delay of 3 months or 3 years. So there has been a delay since you first started this. But he keeps the faith. He keeps repairing his little cloak. It's torn and tattered, and he puts new patches in it. And he's still waiting, and eventually his ships do come in. Second card is another three, and this is the Three of Pentacles. This shows three people working on a church, building it, and the stonemason is usually the sitter or querent. That's you. There's also a priest and an architect. And this is the only card in the tarot deck that I use in which one of the coins is not coins. It's just carvings. So there's three carvings of coins, but no actual coins. You may be looking for too high a wage. There may not be the money there, and that may be some of the delay. If you were to take a wage or work for a nonprofit, and that doesn't mean that you don't get a profit, but this card also can mean working for nonprofits. It can mean working for the community good. So let me interrupt myself here to ask, what kind of work do you do?
Pretty much administrative. Anything having to do with, clerical, admin assistant, executive assistant, you know, in that sort of genre. But the industry really doesn't matter.
Okay. So what it looks like, you might have better luck working in a relationship to a any kind of nonprofit or social good institution. It doesn't have to be a church. It could be a hospital, which could be for profit. It could be a nonprofit, you know, SPCA, you know, something like that. It could be any kind of foundation or something, but it's upwardly striving. It's helpful to people. But there
I just recently applied for a job with the state for like Department of Human Services,
mm-hmm.
and so I think that would probably fit into that sort of category.
Yeah, that fits exactly. That fits exactly.
But it takes a long time to get a job like that.
Yes, it does. But that's kind of the field that's opening up here. Okay.
Okay.
It also does show, though, there may be a little less money than you wanted because, like I said, it's the only coin card with no golden coins. And the third card is a very hopeful card. It is the Page of Wands or Princess of Wands, and that is a young adventurous woman embarking on a journey around the world. She has a wooden staff. She has got a red feather in her cap. Make sure you've got all your academic credentials and everything together. Her feather is her awards. She looks up at the tip of her staff and sights the stars. So, no, you haven't done anything wrong, but there have been some delays, and some of the delays have been about money. Okay. So let me turn this over to Nadia, and she's going to use a different card reading system and see what she gets.
Okay. Yeah, so I pulled cards from both of these decks that I mentioned, and it's very interesting because I got the Three of Cups. I think it was like the 1-3 that was missing in chat. But the first card that I got is the Seven of Swords, and it's reversed. I usually do not read reverses, but in this deck it sort of makes sense, and you see swords above a little fox with one eye. So it's that there has been a lot of deceit maybe around things that happened to you before, hardships that only now you are realizing really what has been happening and slowly starting to be able to stand on your feet and to dream about what is going to happen. And then comes the Three of Cups, and in this deck you see three little birds talking on a branch and the three cups underneath them, which tells me if you want to move forward, the social networking or talking to people, communicating, putting yourself out there will be very, very, very important. Connecting to the right people and maybe putting the intention to bring to you opportunities to connect to the right people. The last card from the Tarot is the Ace of Wands and it's reversed. So it tells me, yes, there is a delay here. From the fortune-telling cards, I got all three of the cards are sort of major cards, and one of them is North for the North Star. There is a home, and there is a card for luck that shows an open door. So what I would do is definitely really focus on what is it that I want to achieve, not only in terms of my work, but moving forward. And then with the house and the door, I would do road opening work, you know, and really bring in attention on you want to relocate back to where you were. Focus on your roots. Focus on where you started. Start working magically around that in order to bring you closer.
Okay.
Okay. So what we've got here is our two readings are agreeing that there are delays, definitely delays, but there's no curse. We're not saying anybody has done this to you, okay?
Right.
So let's turn this over to Conjurman Ali, and he's going to start giving you some root work remediation with a special attention to the road opening and removing that delay or blockage that we've both seen. Okay, Ali?
Okay.
Certainly. One of my favorite ways of working when it comes to needing to find a new job, new residence, new whatever, but having that road opening element, is what I do is I take a piece of paper and I write down what I'm looking for. For example, if I'm looking for a house, I'm writing down the qualities I'm looking for. I want it to have this many rooms, this many bathrooms, etc. If I'm looking for a job, like you are, you're going to write down what you're looking for in a job. I want an environment where that's healthy, that's amicable, with opportunities for growth, for opportunities to progress and be promoted from within, where my skills can shine, where I can help people, et cetera, et cetera. You can even be specific. I want to make this much a year. You know, I want to have opportunities for vacation. Write that down and then dress that with oil. Dress it with steady work, attraction, and money drawing. That's always a great combination. Then I want you to take that out to the crossroads. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to take three pennies with you, and you're going to ask the spirit of the crossroads. Now, I would also take an orange candle, dress it with road opener oil, and set it right in the middle of the crossroads, and say, spirit of the crossroads, I ask you to help open my roads and guide my footsteps so that wherever I step, I am led to my ideal job. Okay? And then read off the list of qualifications or qualities that you're looking for. Leave the three pennies, gather a little bit of the dirt, and put a pinch of that dirt in that paper, fold it up into a packet, and put it in your shoe. And what this will do is that every step you take, the spirit of the crossroads is going to help walk you to your ideal job, your idea, the place you need to be. If you need to move, if you need to shift cities, the spirit of the crossroads will handle that for you. Back this work up by doing some candle work. Heat, fire is always excellent for kind of removing delays. It's got the ability to punch through. So an orange candle with road opener oil, a white candle with attraction oil, set up with a green candle, with steady work and money drawing, and set in a triangle on an altar what you pray when you pray over it will be excellent for breaking through any of the obstacles that you have while the spirit of the crossroads opens the roads and guides you to your ideal job. Lodestone work is also excellent for something like this, so you might consider putting a lodestone in between the triangle of candles to help draw the work that you're looking for, okay?
Should this be done for a certain amount of time or just until, you know, just
until you get the job
indefinitely?
I would keep doing it until you get the job. Keep that packet in there until you get the in your shoe until you get the job, so that every day that you walk, every step that you take is one step closer to your destiny, one step closer to your ideal job. And you keep those candles going, you know.
Right.
Root work is work. You work at it until you break through those walls. You know, you chip away at it with each prayer, with each candle lighting, with each, you know, element that you add on there. And I think that if you do this consistently, if you do it faithfully, you will break through any obstacles that you have. You're not, the delays that have been seen here are not what I consider heavy delays. They're not considered delays where you're that's it, done. Prepare to sit around for years and years and years. No, this is just delays that need a little bit of push. You're in molasses, so to speak. So we need to give you the power to kind of step through that, speed the situation up. So remain faithful to this work. Keep doing it consistently, and you will be able to push through these delays and find the success that you want. And let's see if one of my colleagues have any other suggestions to add to the work that I've outlined.
Yeah, I'm going to add one little thing here, too. As you do this sort of work, which is ongoing work, I would recommend that you get the business cards or corporate logos or any kind of visual cue, a picture of the building, whatever, or the person who might be getting the interviews turned in, and use that as a kind of a visualization guide for yourself. Sometimes people will do a thing where you get to Google Street View and print out a picture of the building, decorate it with the picture of the logo of the company, and put that up. Some people just have that on the altar. You can actually work around it on the altar, and it helps you to focus. You mentioned that concentration was one of your problems, and are you better at visual concentration than you are at other kinds?
Yes.
Okay.
Visual.
So use that. Yeah. If you're a very visual person, literally put your hand on it and say, "I wish to be hired here." You know.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
somebody
also Turnstile mentioned Mercury work. Mercury is for commerce, and Mercury is an interesting planet that has to do with communication and commerce. And you can always use
and
Mercury light as a and the Crossroads. And Mercury light as a helper light is always, you know, a good idea too. I wasn't something that I would have thought about, but it does show sometimes working on a Wednesday is good.
She had those birds too. And there is another thing that I want to add that is very popular in Russian folk magic, is the idea of a house spirit. And I was thinking about that because of the cards that I got, and I got a very clear confirmation from a candle that I'm burning. I have the silver candle, and a chunk of wax fell on the table, and it looks like a little guy with horns, and it's very, very cute. But the idea of the Domovoy, the house spirit, that a spirit that moves with you and lives with you in the house, and it's there to protect you, to take care of you. Sometimes they can get pissed at you, but most of the time they're there to take care of your stuff. So if you had any sort of feeling that you have any energy that is helpful around you, you know, you can talk to this guy and say, hey, I know you're here and you want to be here, but we want to move and we want to find a new place and a new home for us. And I ask you to help me. And for this, I will offer you, you know, offer him some bread. In Russian folk magic, it would be like a bread and salt would be something that is common to offer. You can offer him a little bit of wine, whatever you feel like. But send him to work for you. I think you're going to get a good blessing from it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty. All right. Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling. And we look forward to hearing what happens. And we've given you a lot of good different ideas about how to do this kind of work. Some ways will work better for you than others, and you'll find your own way through this. If you have any further questions, you can also go to the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and post in the job getting thread, and there's a whole section on job getting, and you can, you know, comment in there, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, good luck. All right,
Alrighty.
Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, it's Kat. Excuse me, and support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 480. This is Tammy. Tammy, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. You did not indicate your location. May I at least ask your state?
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, great. I'm going to go ahead and let our hosts know that you have actually been on the radio show, but it's been about 2 years since you've been on the show. You have not been to any other readers or root workers about your situation. And she writes, my ex-husband and I have been seeing each other, and I got pregnant. He was there throughout my entire pregnancy and for the first 4 weeks of my daughter's life. He had us do an at-home DNA test kit because he knew I had a one-night stand during the time I got pregnant. The test results came back negative, and he left that night. He's been very distant and won't take a legal DNA test until the other guy takes one. The other guy is a real loser and keeps telling me he'll take the test next week, and this has been going on for 3 weeks. My ex-husband was paying the bills while I'm on unpaid maternity leave. Now I find myself broke and alone trying to raise a 7-week-old. I'm supposed to start back to work in a week with no money to pay for child care. My ex says it's too painful to be around us, and right now that he feels betrayed, so I've started a honey jar. The other guy lives in another state and has no sense of urgency to get the test. I need him to hurry up and get it over with. I don't know what else I can do so that my ex-husband doesn't lose his feelings for the baby and myself. Turning it back over to you.
Whoa. Oh, Tammy, you've got a lot going on there, honey.
Yes, I do.
That is a serious situation. And, you know, DNA tests make it both better and worse for women in a situation like you.
Mm-hmm.
And a home DNA test is, well, it is what it is. It might be right. It might be wrong. Are you, do you have any feelings about who's the father?
It could really be either way. I was kind of 99% sure it was my ex-husband, but according to the test that we took, it's not so.
Not so. All right. Wow. Well, you got a difficult situation. All right. Well, let's focus on what the actual situation is, which is to get the other guy to take the test so that your husband can take a test that's more of a legal test. This ain't gonna help change the results now, baby. This is only going to help get that other guy to take the test. All right. Mm-hmm. So let's have Ollie do the first reading on this.
Certainly. And what I'm using is the Rumi Tarot. I have three cards here, and they speak actually to the overall situation. They speak about your ex-husband's feelings. They speak about this other guy and what the overall outcome is going to be. The very first card we have is the Ten of Swords. The Ten of Swords in the Rumi Tarot, against the beautiful green, emerald green background, there are 10 scimitars, and they reveal a small vignette of a ruined minaret and dome, and it's a city that has been destroyed by the sand. This is an indication. It is a card of devastation. It's a card of being hit by something that you have no control over. It's a card of betrayal often in the tarot decks, and what this indicates is this is what your husband is feeling. He's feeling devastated. It's as if he was vulnerable and the knife was stabbed and twisted. Okay? So this is, it is a very serious matter. It is a very hurtful matter, and you're going to have to understand where he's coming from. Getting the results, even though it is a home DNA test where you are not the father, is going to devastate him. There's an emasculating effect to this entire thing. Okay? So it is a very, very sad card filled with a great deal of pain. That said, there is hope in the third card, but the second card that we have is the Two of Swords. Now, the Two of Swords shows an image in typical Middle Eastern fashion. Anyone who is a prophet or a saint usually has fire around their head, and this is, alludes to the idea of a halo or spiritual qualities or spiritual inspiration. And here we have the image of Moses and Pharaoh in between two swords. And what it says is, when you attain your original purity, Moses and Pharaoh are at peace. And this kind of reveals the situation that you need to take. This other guy is like Pharaoh. He is this arrogant man who needs to do something, but he refuses to do so. You need to come at him with the power of the law, because Moses is the lawbringer. You need to come at him with the power of spirit, because Moses is the mouthpiece of God. Okay, so you need to hit him two ways. Hard. You need to hit him with the law, and you need to hit him with the unshakable power of the Lord. So, Moses and Pharaoh, the key to getting Pharaoh to bend and break is to hit him with the power of the law. Don't be afraid to take this to legal matters. You need to take a DNA test. Don't be afraid to use spiritual means. Okay? Call upon, I would highly recommend using the Psalms in this particular type of work. Okay? The third card tells us that you and your husband will have a chance to resolve one another's, hurts, and you will be able to repair the family bond. This is the King of Cups. It shows us a beautiful sultan sitting in a beautiful garden, and he's on a majestic carpet, and he's got this turban on his head with a giant feather, a cup in his hand, and next to him is a vase. And what this indicates is that there's going to be an up and down. Your husband is going to have to come to terms with his feelings. So take time to, give him the space that he needs, because he's going to need it. Your ex-husband needs space. Don't push him. Right now your focus should be on getting the DNA test from the other guy. And this indicates that you will be able to get him with the power of the law and spirit and magic on your side. What the King of Cups tells us is, with the Sword of Happiness, I shall redeem my beloved. And this is a Rumi post. This is a Rumi verse that indicates that the hurts are going to be there. There's no denying that. There's no denying that this man is going to go through a difficult time. Let him go through that, your ex-husband. But once he comes to terms with that, you will be able to redeem love by showing the happiness of the child, by showing your happiness when he's involved in your life. So sweetening work, honey work, to draw you guys back together, both you and the child, with your ex-husband. Even if he's not the biological father, he is the one that's, standing by you. Mm-hmm. He is the one that's going to be a family with you. So it is a good result. It is a result that comes after a great deal of turmoil and hurt and struggle, though, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, honey. Well, this is really a serious matter. I'm going to throw the bones, and I'm going to just pick a little random pile. I've been kind of putting my bones between one hand and the other to see what bones I'm going to throw. And the bones, throwing the bones is sometimes a very long, complex process, but what I'm going to throw is just a small number of bones, and we'll see what we get. Okay, so here we go.
Okay.
Okay. So what I have here, let's see, well, that is an odd one. Okay. Sometimes I have to go, which one is it? Oh, yes. Okay, I see what's happening here. We have, the bones have fallen into three little piles. The first pile consists of three bones, a rabbit foot, a bone dice, it's a rabbit leg bone, a bone dice, and a snake rib bone. I believe this is the other man because he has run. Rabbit has run away. Or it could be your husband, your ex. But snake eyes is not good. It's the dice has come up too. And it's surrounded by this little rib bone, which is a strangling influence. This is not a very happy situation, and it really shows that something has gone wrong. This person has run out on you, and not good at all. The second little pile of bones is an abalone shell, which stands for the female, and in it there are two little things have fallen into it. One is a bell, and the bell always means wake up, wake up, wake up. You'd better see what you're doing here. You better make sure this is that you have everything going on, that you know everything that's going on. The second one that's in there is a little bone bead with a rabbit carved on it. And this is the second rabbit we have. But this little bone bead with a rabbit is used in Asian folklore, Japanese folklore, and Chinese folklore to represent children often. And so this is the moon rabbit, and it says do some prayer work around the safety and protection of the child. The child is in the abalone shell, so it's still in your thing, but you're really going to need to wake up. The third little item here is just one bit by itself, and it's a little Chinaware doll hand, and it has its hand out saying in a gesture that says stop. I have a number of different little doll arms, and some have grabbing and some pushing away, and this is a pushing away. I'm not seeing a really good outcome here, and what I'm seeing is that you will need to do some work on this guy who has run away. I think that Ali's idea of legal work is good. It's not indicated in the bones that I have here. No legal bones have come up. But he is intending to basically do a fade and have nothing to do, and he needs to be forced to take that DNA test, obviously, because the bones show him basically just running like a rabbit, like a scared rabbit. So that's, it's going to have to be forced.
Yeah.
So let's see what Madame Nadia has to say as far as how to get this thing on the road and get this guy to stand up and do the DNA test.
So considering how complicated and intense the situation is, I would suggest doing some intense work on that. And, again, I pulled some cards here to sort of give me an idea, and it was very interesting because I listened to all the suggestions, and I have a shaker of salt showing up, reversed with the letter S, and Ali saying unshakable power of the law. So for me, you got to shake up this, guys. Okay, there is a card that stands for eclipse and a card that stands for friendship, and it's a clothespin. So what I want you to do, first of all, is that I want you to get some of their personal concerns, pictures of both of them, or, the more personal, the better. And I want you to take a little bit of beeswax, and you're going to do some prayers on each photograph, and you're going to burn it to ashes, and then you're going to put the ashes in the beeswax, and you can put a little bit of calamus root in it, okay? And you're going to wrap that in a string. And the first thing that you want to do is you want to suspend these strings above, okay? And I want it to be do as I say incense, okay? And this whole thing is going to start melting. They're going to start melting into the incense. After you do your prayers, you're going to mash it all together. They're going to become one bowl, one thing. And you're going to put that bowl, that thing, into a little tiny box. And you're going to fill this box with salt. You're going to fill this box with red pepper. And you're going to fill this box with licorice or calamus, something commanding or commanding powder. And you're going to make only one tiny hole, okay? Because it's about seeing. The letters that I got here is S-E. It's about seeing. They need to see what you're seeing. They need to see only what you want them to see. This is what they're going to be focusing on. And I want you to keep this little hole closed, and only when you do your prayers, you're going to open it. And you're going to make it, you know, you're going to open it for longer and longer time as time progresses. And I would take your picture and the picture of the baby holding the baby and put it on a picture of Virgin Mary or of Madonna and Child or something like that, like a statue. So it stands across from that box. And then you're going to say your prayer. You're going to open up this little hole that's going to be looking straight at the Madonna and the Child. And you're going to say, you are going to do as I say. You are going to do the paternity test, the DNA test, and you're going to listen to me. You're going to do it for me. You're going to do it for the baby. And this is the divine. This is the justice. This is the spirit. And this is how it's going to happen. And you're going to shake that box. Okay?
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great
really
work.
Good.
You can always between the box and the statue, put a magnifying glass. So not only that they see it, that your image and the image of the baby is magnified. If you want to get more creative, I would say that the rabbit showed up for one of them. You know, I think Kat said that it was the husband.
No,
right?
I'm thinking it was the man who ran away. But, you know, I just have to say something here. Reverend Deborah Joy in the chat room pointed out, I'm old enough to remember this, and she is too, rabbits used to be used for pregnancy tests. And I hadn't even thought of that, and I got two rabbits here.
Not
oh, wow.
So, and of course, the man doesn't want to take the pregnancy test because he's afraid that he'll have to pay child support. And he's
mm-hmm.
far away. He's the guy who ran. He's the running rabbit. Yeah, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I would add that. I would add like I'm very visual. So when I know about the rabbit, that the rabbit foot represented him, I would add that. I would add the snake reborn to represent the other guy, you know. And I also have to tell you that really I see that it's going to be as well a difficult situation. I think that it's going to take a while to solve, but I feel that the intention of your ex-husband is still there a little bit. There is a lot of confusion. There is a lot of anger.
Yeah.
There is a lot of stuff going on for him. He doesn't know where to look and who to trust. So on the other side of it, you know, put him in a honey jar. Talk to him. Take a skull candle, a white skull candle to clear the conclusion, and I think maybe the confusion, I think Kat talked about it last week on the show. Even before you light that thing, you massage it with some clarity oil, and you talk to it, and you say, honey, no matter what happens, in my heart, this child is yours, and this baby needs you, and you need to come and help this baby, and you need to help me, and I know that in deep inside your heart, this is what you want to do, so let's make it happen. And I would work on that in addition to working the other thing.
Okay.
That's excellent
yeah.
work. I would add some psalm work to this. Whenever I'm looking to bring down someone to bend over for me, I always use Psalm 110, which is this very powerful psalm that makes your opponent, your enemy, anyone who's resisting you, your footstool. So add the Psalm 110 to those to the wonderful work that Madam Nadia gave you include herbs, she said, commanding, licorice, calamus, great. I want to also add master root. You're going to be the master of this particular situation. So that's the only addition that I would give to it. Beautiful work. Bring on that power. Pray Psalm 110 with a just heart and, you know, make them bend over to take that test.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish you all the luck in the world, honey. And another thing that you might want to do is to, once you get this the test settled out and you know you have the law on your side, you can get that thing done. Whoever is the father, you want to do some union work to keep that father in the baby's life. If you can bring your ex back in to be a stepfather to the child, good luck. I'm not as sanguine as some of my partners here are, I'm not. I'm going to be real honest. I'm not feeling it, you know. But if you can. And it has happened. Good luck to you on that one. If not, you're going to need that other guy to pay the child support. And I really wish you all the best, baby. Let us know what's happening. It's a very heavy work, and it's a very heavy situation. And don't let that all detract from your joy in your child, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, because the child is innocent in this. The child is innocent. All right, sweetheart, good luck. And let's... turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Gadd. And a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and root work consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com. And this week's special guest, Madame Nadia of Priorymoon.com in Chicago, Illinois. In an 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now it's time to go to the callers who signed up to be on the air at the Lucky Mojo Forum. Our next caller is calling in from area code 561 from Florida. This is Brad. Brad, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Welcome back to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let the host know for your post in the Lucky Mojo Forum that... when it asks if you've had a reading with either Conjurement Ali or Miss Cat, either privately on the radio show, that the answer is no to that question. And you have not gone to any other readers or root workers, especially members of AIR. And he writes, I've spent most of my life learning and working with computers. Now, after getting my bachelor's in IT, I've lost all interest. I'm currently in grad school for IT and ready to leave it after only one semester. I've not been able to find a career in it, and after 10 months searching. Instead, I'm now working on plans to teach English in Japan. I'd like to know if computers are my true calling in life, or if I should continue grad school, or if I'm being affected by a temporary hex. This is in parentheses. I do have a former friend who practiced magic who could do the hexing. Turning it back over to you.
Wow. All righty. Okay, so Madam Nadia is going to do the reading on this one to start.
How interesting. So, Brad, just to make sure I understand, you finished your bachelor's and you're going to grad school. You're studying
right.
Computers and IT. And up until now, you were absolutely sure that this is what you want to do.
Yes,
and,
I was.
And suddenly it just doesn't make you happy anymore. And you start thinking about other options and possibilities.
That's correct.
Okay. I want to ask you before looking into the cards, are you in a relationship or have been in a relationship that ended recently or something that drastic that happened? I just want to eliminate a possibility.
No.
The answer. No. Okay. So, as we were talking, I pulled a few cards, and I have the Five of Cups, and it shows this beautiful horse with its eyes closed, and the whole card is in black and white. And the bottom card, the bottom is sort of darker than the top, and the card is reversed. So I feel that this card speaks to me about going and doing things that sort of you thought are good for you. That maybe others really supported you to do it. And suddenly, for the first time, after maybe finishing a big stage, a big part of it, you're sort of starting to look around and trying to figure out, really, is this really what I want? And the next card that's showing up for me is the Nine of Swords reversed. And anyone who knows the cards, Tarot, knows that the Nine of Swords is a very tough card, and in this deck specifically, it looks like this insect that was just dissected by swords, and its parts are everywhere. And it's definitely a card about mental confusion, about waking up in the middle of the night and asking yourself very, very tough questions. And this is also reversed. And the last card is the Ace of Pentacles, and it shows the center of a tree. And what it tells me is that there are two things that I see here. That one thing is that really picking up, looking up above what you were expecting or others were expecting you to do, and having a desire to see more, look more, maybe even take a break because you've been doing it for a long time. Trying to find something that is different, something that speaks to your soul and not only to your mind. I also feel that maybe this field is bringing a lot of anxiety within you. You know, am I going to be successful? Is this what I need to do? What about the people that are around me? Am I going to be stuck in this forever? And feeling that you are going to continue through it, but you will have to allow yourself opportunities to look around, to travel around, to see things. And I think that this thing in your heart to want to go to a different place in the world and experience it is going to be there. So as I see it, this you will be able to go through this confusion and anxiety finishing your grad school, but after that, going out into the world and trying to look and find different things that are not so maybe intellectual. And I would try to focus my energy so I get some clarity and I finish what I need to do and then allow myself to go and travel to different places to get different perspectives. And I would love to hear what my colleagues have to say about that too.
All right. So, Ali, what can you tell the guy? He's in grad school, ready to quit. He's ready to go teach English in Japan. What do you tell him?
Well, there's a couple things I'd like to point out. One, from a practical point of view, this is whenever you have the sciences go into grad school, we're feeling, and this may not be the case for you, but just bear this in mind. This actually does happen to people who go from undergrad to grad school. Undergrad, you have the survey of the topic, so it's always very interesting. You can find something that you're quite interested in, and a lot of people are very excited. But the second you get into, you know, graduate school, you kind of dive into the minutia of the topic. And that's really, there's a disillusionment that happens to a lot of people. So you're not, what you're going through is not entirely unique. I would not see this as a curse, and that's my sense of it right off the bat, just listening to this situation. So what do we do about the situation? What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Eshu, who happens to be the Lord of the Crossroads, the Master of Magic, and the Lord of Kimbanda. And he is excellent for these type of questions of what do I do? I'm at the crossroads, because he rules the crossroads. So bear with me as I do a brief invocation of Eshu, okay?
Okay.
Salve povo de Aruanda, salve Eshu, salve Pombajira, salve povo de Kimbanda, laro ai, laro ai, laro ai, kesu mexuna, kesu e, kesu mexuna zambi e. Okay, Eshu. Where does this path lead? Do you advise travel? Okay. One more to confirm something here for you. Okay, very interesting. We have some wonderful things coming up here. Your future is very bright. Eshu gives me nothing but good things. What you're standing at is the crossroads. The symbol of the crossroads came up very clearly in this, and he's just telling you, look, your destiny is yours. You can take this in either direction. However, the indication here is finish grad school. That is a qualification that you can get. You've already, you know, it's expensive. It's already an expensive decision. Finish your grad school. It is about endurance. This is a test, this type of disillusionment. Are you able to push through and reclaim your joy and happiness and excitement for the field? If so, push through and get your degree. However, there is also a very strong indication that even though you'll get your degree in IT, even though you'll go ahead and get your degree in this particular field and get your master's, you will travel, that you will go around and may not necessarily work in computers at first. That is good. You want this type of experience. This is all going to build you up. So there is an indication here that taking the job in Japan, maybe put it off a little bit until you get your degree, finish your degree, or if you can somehow take the job in Japan, and then when you return, finish your degree. Try to work out travel as part of the plan, but don't use travel to sacrifice your education. Your education is going to be important, is what Eshu reveals to me. And it will help to open a great many opportunities for you. Even if you don't go into working with computers specifically, having a master's does show diligence, shows perseverance, and is a good qualification to put on your resume. It's not necessary for success. I know plenty of people who have no degrees and they're successful, but it will help stack the deck in your favor. So I would, according to what Eshu has revealed, encourage you to complete your degree. What you're going through is a bit of a disillusionment, but that's a result of shifting away from your undergrad to graduate studies. You are at that crossroads. What you make of that crossroads is really yours. You can leave the era education behind, but know that you will regret it in the future, that there will be a sense of, oh, I could have completed my master's had I just seen it through. Okay? That's the sense okay. I'm getting here, is to go forth, complete your master's, but then don't limit yourself. Don't feel like you need to be in the field of IT. Because you, and this kind of speaks to the Nine of Swords that Madame Nagia got. The Nine of Swords is a regret card. You know, it's a card of, ooh, why did I do that? So travel is going to be very big in your future. Once you get your degree, expect that you're going to probably go overseas. If it is working for a firm overseas, if it's going to be teaching overseas, but it's going to give you the experience that you need. Okay? Don't look to getting, because your disillusionment is also tied to the idea that you're not getting the job you want right off the bat. Don't worry about that. The job will come in time. Right now, it's about building these experiences. Go out, definitely get your degree, go out and travel. Yes, take some type of, if there's a firm offering an internship, take it up, because in the long run, what Eshu reveals is that these open up a myriad of doors and opportunities that will lead you to great success, and I do see a lot of money in your future, just not your near future, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to try to give you some root work ideas here. I'm going to just add one other thing to teaching English in Japan. Will never get you where the IT degree will get you, and that's just from practical stuff, not from reading cards, okay? But having IT qualifications and teaching English to people in Japan with that IT degree may end up with a new kind of job. Now, the real problem is your economics here. You're not able to find a career in it after 10 months of searching. So have you been applying for jobs?
Yes.
All right. And when you say IT, IT can mean a lot of things. So let's talk about what kind of jobs are you talking about here? Just give me three lists here.
I've been applying mostly for network administration, computer tech support, and also IT training, teaching other people.
Okay. All righty. Okay. So each of those has a different type of thing going on. I want you to consider what Kondraman Ali said about possibly starting with an internship.
Yeah.
You can certainly get that, and although you won't be paid, they're not going to know that necessarily when the next place you apply. Right. Consider doing freelance work and stuff. I'm not seeing a curse either. I'm seeing confusion. So what I'm going to recommend for you is to do some road opening work of the type that has been described, and Ollie kind of touched on that, and we had talked about it with another one of the people, callers today. But I'm also going to talk about clarity work. I feel like it isn't a curse that has hexed you or a temporary hex or anything like that. It's your own unclarity. Because things didn't come real easy to you right away. So I want you to do some bathing and cleansing of your mind. I want you to take clarity oil or clarity bath crystals in dissolved in water. And I want you to set up a little program for yourself of bathing and a white candle dressed with clarity oil. And it doesn't need to be one of these big old clarity vigil candles. Just a little 4-inch white candle dressed with clarity oil will be enough. And I want you to bathe yourself with some clarity oil in the water and with some clarity bath crystals. I want you to do this on a fast. I want you to fast and not eat, okay, for the day. And at sunset, I want you to do this thing with clarity and to pray. And I know whether you have a religion or not. If you don't have a religion, then just ask for insight and guidance through your own electronic brain, whatever it is, you know, whatever you call
okay.
upon to help yourself, or ask Jesus to help, or whatever, you know. And or Santa Clara, Santa Clara being the Catholic patron saint of computers. And the internet, but you're asking for clarity is what it is, and see if you can. And now this is going to require a fast. Well, you know, you don't have to fast 24 hours. I'm not saying that, but just get up in the morning and fast and go to sleep, and the next day you can eat. But what you're going to ask for is a dream, a vision, and some guidance. I think that you're just a little blocked up and stuck. You can also do some house cleaning with a Chinese wash during that day. A 24-hour fast never hurt anybody, but I really feel you need to do a little fast and some clarity prayers and work for clarity. And then the next morning, look at the thing anew and see if you see what you think you see. I think that you're going to find out that IT work actually is your calling. It challenges
yeah.
you more intellectually. It is a higher calling than teaching English. And I'll tell you, because I could go teach English in Japan, because, hey, you know, why not? But I sure couldn't teach IT networking to people. Okay, so you got there's more potential there. And the teaching thing is good. You do have that going for you. But I would just do some clarity work, a little prayer around clarity, and see if that will help you. Okay?
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
All righty. Good luck to you. All righty. Okay, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And we're going to go ahead shortly and go to our discussion panel. And a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each Sunday. Our discussion panel this evening with Ms. Kat, Conjamin Ali, and our special guest member from AIR, Madam Nadia, will be working with ancestors, especially this time of the year. Turning it back over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, as many people know, the fall of the year is associated in many parts of the world, but not all, with the dead. The time of the dying of the leaves brings to mind the dead, and many ceremonies of ancestors and of the dead are held around the world in different cultures at this time of the year. Of course, one of the ones that we're all familiar with is Halloween. And so we're going to talk about working with ancestors, and I'm going to turn this over. I'm just going to introduce it. Working with ancestors has a long, strong history in African tradition. In Hoodoo, we work with African ideas, but also with European ideas and Native American ideas. Not all those cultures have the same feeling toward the dead. In some cultures, the dead are spooky, scary, and dangerous, and can bring disease and death themselves. In other cultures, the friendly dead, the wonderful ancestors who guide our paths and help us, are almost of the same quality as guardian angels. So
yeah.
Whatever culture you come from, you're going to feel different about what we talk about. So I'm going to say that working with ancestors is one of the most powerful ways that hoodoo is distinguished from other forms of European Christian folk magic, although the Irish do as well, have a lot of ancestor work. But in hoodoo, we do a lot more work with ancestors. It is not formalized. It is not a religion, but we see a lot of that work. All right, I'm going to turn it over. Now you guys speak up and say what you have to say about it.
Well, I just wanna say about it that when I started working in hoodoo and conjure, I wasn't doing a lot of conscious work with my ancestors. It's actually a practice that is evolving. And coming from my culture, we were looking at the ancestors as something scary or spooky. In fact, my family has been doing seances, and I think specifically in Russia, it's been a very popular practice. But I started working with the ancestors kind of late, and I followed the tradition of a boveda, of my spiritual altar that is white, and I have images of my ancestors. I have some images of ancestors who are not blood, but they are part of my spiritual court,
mm-hmm.
and might be somebody who I want to work with. I also sometimes receive information and dreams about specific individuals who need to go on the boveda, and there is a very beautiful ritual that I do, and it's a lot of times in the spiritismo done for people who just passed away, but I do it for my ancestors as I feel necessary or they come through, and it's called an elevation or illumination ceremony, and I light candles and pray for the specific individuals 7 days in a row, and I put my candles on a white plate with a glass of water, or a candle, white plate and a glass of water. And every day I put something underneath that plate, and I pray for the elevation of the spirit, and the way that I see it is this, it's about enlightenment, that the spirit goes closer to light, to wisdom, and through that blessing me and my family and my clients. And I really feel that, you know, we can do work for our ancestors. A lot of times we come to them, we ask them for help. This is sort of becoming from no practice at all to the core and the center of my home. And when mm-hmm. really when it's really tough, I go there. This is the first place that I go, and I would sit down and I would talk to them, and I would bitch if I need to, and they would take care of it. But I also believe that for us, praying for them and remembering them is doing a service for them, for wherever they are, and it just feels so good. It's just a wonderful feeling.
So this, what you're talking about is, it comes out of Kardecian spiritualism,
mm-hmm.
the white table, Mesa Blanca, or Mesa Blanca, the white mass. Different people call it different things, and depending on who you talk to, they will have different names for it, and depending on their relation to Allan Kardec. The working with the spirit in that way is not a tradition that I know. I work with ancestors on a more practical level, more out of Mississippi hoodoo. Go get their graveyard dirt, bring it back, they'll help you. And
I think one reason for me to go for that is that I physically cannot get graveyard dirt from my ancestors, because some of them are in Russia and I've never been there. Some of them
mm-hmm.
just away in Israel, and again, I'm not there. I'm actually going there around Christmas time, and I'm planning to come back, you know, after visiting a few grave sites. But I think that works specifically for me because my ancestors are not close to me, and I feel that the you know, the glasses of water, it's almost like crystal balls that allow me and my spirit to travel without having that, you know, being able to go to the graveyard. And I adjust a lot of the prayers, you know, I pray from my heart. I don't tend to pray to Jesus. You know, sometimes if I feel inspired, I will say that. And my husband was, you know, raised as Christian. But a lot of times I would just speak from my heart and I incorporate the part that works for me. I know some people are very big purists and it would be something that's, you know, almost illegal in some circles. But, you know, I make it work for me like that.
I'm going to throw something in here, too, because like you, many of my ancestors are buried in other parts of the world, and I never have been able to get to their graves. I have found ways to work that were taught to me. One of them is through Black Hawk work, where you're literally calling in a spirit of a lost ancestor into some graveyard dirt that is not from anyone's grave. And using a bucket of dirt and putting an image of that being, Black Hawk in this case, and calling in the image into it. I have to say, you know me, I'm always out there doing, you know, weird experimental magic that has, you know, kind of chaotic in my own way. I have found that subscribing to Ancestry.com and tracking your ancestors from census to census, and they're getting their social security numbers, suddenly you begin to live with these people who you never met before. You see where they lived. You can go then to Google Street View and find, you know, the little apartment building on Bedford Street that they lived on, or whatever it is, and you all of a sudden they start to become very real to you. People that you cannot find their grave or know where they are, people who maybe your family was cut apart by divorce and you don't really know about these people. And I have found that it's been very interesting also to do DNA tests and to hook up with my you know, newfound fourth and fifth cousins through DNA and look at their pictures and begin to see my ancestors in the commonalities between my face and them. So very unconventional work and yet very sincere and very spiritual work. What do you do, Ollie?
One of the things, and this is, you know, I can completely understand the idea behind not having access to your ancestors because my ancestors are from North Africa and the Middle East. However, I have traveled there and gathered their graveyard dirt, and they have shrines because several of my ancestors are folk saints over there. In the same way that, for example, you know, Jesus Malverde, different purpose, but similar, this idea, they're real figures that did become folk saints for a region. So I do have their graveyard dirt. But the way that I was taught conjure practices was very, ancestor work was central for it. In fact, the idea of working with other dead spirits comes second after you work with your ancestors. And I was told very clearly that graveyard work is dangerous, and you first and foremost go to your ancestors before you go to anyone else. And the way I was taught to help increase a connection with a spirit that you can get their graveyard dirt is very similar to Black Hawk, a little different, is you create a shrine, you create a little table, you have a bowl of general graveyard dirt that you've mixed with Althea, Angelica powder, along with acacia. And acacia, for those that are not familiar, is used in the funerary practices of Egypt, the Levant,
Judaism.
The Levantine region, and Judaism is included in the Levantine region. So several different practices of that particular region uses acacia. So you mix the three of these together on general graveyard dirt, and you keep cups of water and candles. And you keep calling your ancestor, and you're supposed to do that for a period of like a month. And over time, the ancestor settles into the new dirt and finds a new home, so to speak. And then your ancestors kind of come out of obscurity, out of the, you know, the river of time and into the present. It's a beautiful way of working, and it's one of the first things I was taught before I was ever allowed to do graveyard dirt. I was told, ancestor work first and foremost. They're your first line, they're your guardians, they're your protectors, and they're also the people that will set things right should anything go wrong. Let's say you do some graveyard work and you're not particularly familiar with it and somehow you lose control, your ancestors can set right to your kind of spiritual life around you.
Mm-hmm. I just posted in the forum of two online shrines. These are the places where I post all my information about these people, and eventually I'll be adding more and more photos and stuff like that. But if you go to either one of them, especially online shrine number two, which has more photos, you'll find things like people's draft cards, people's radios, random people who look like the people who I'm related to, who seem to be related to me, and so forth. This is a way of working with ancestors that's very modern. It's the online shrine is there. I do honor to my ancestors by posting their pictures, by doing research on them. Maybe I'm a little different than others, but I find it an important way to work rather than have a little setup place with their pictures on it. Although I do have a picture of Villa Adele McLaughlin, who isn't even related to me, who's my husband Nagashifa's ancestor, but she has this beautiful photo, and somehow she got into my office. She just keeps watching over me and saying that she wants me to take good care of Nagashifa. So, setting up photos of the ancestors, a little memory place. I don't know what Villa Adele McLaughlin is doing in my room, but like I said, sometimes the ancestors who are not your ancestors will speak and call to you and come to you.
I want to share with you guys this really cool story that happened to me. And again, it's so interesting that it's your husband's aunt or great aunt that shows up. But when I was living in San Francisco, I had very close friends of my family. It was the only closest people to me that weren't in Israel, and I spent a lot of time with them. And unfortunately, one of them passed away from cancer this year. And so, of course, we were very sad, and it was a tough thing to do. And then about a month after that, my husband wakes up, and he tells me a story, a dream that he dreamt. And he tells me about seeing a priestess on the other side, or a godmother, as he called her, and she instructed him that there needs to be a ceremony done for this person. So I said, okay, I can find a picture, and I put the picture on my boveda, and I did an elevation ceremony. And I prayed for him, and when the ceremony was done, at that night, I had the most amazing dream. And I saw him in my dream. I was in a house, and he was there, and suddenly there was a knock on the door, and some guy, random guy on a truck, comes down and says, hey, I am ready for your uncle. So I go back to him and I say, uncle, they're ready for you. He's here. And he says, no, I don't want to go. I said, no, uncle, you have to go. He's here. And he asked me, is he looking very scary and strange? I said, no, he looks just like a regular Joe Schmo. You'll be okay. So I bring him to the door and he sees the car and he says, okay, just don't tell my wife and my daughter anything. If they ask you, just tell them I love them. They don't need to know the details. And he kisses me and he goes away. And
how beautiful.
It was the most beautiful, beautiful thing, and I was just so touched by it.
Wow. All right. Thank you so much for guiding us in those ideas, Nadia. Let's see if Miss Tammy Lee has time to say goodbye.
Sure. Yes, ma'am, Miss Cat. Thank you, Miss Cat, and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Madame Nadia of CalvaryMoon.com in Chicago, Illinois, for being our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in York, New York. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you, Nadia. Thank you, Ali.
And, of course, thank you to Nagashifa.
Nagashifa for running the board. And we'll be around in the chat room for a little bit. And we hope to see you all next week. And I think the best thing to remind you about is I'm going to be on the Cooch Daniels show on Halloween. I'm going to put a little bit reminder in on that. All right. Everybody who has been here, it's been swell. For some reason, this was the job show, I guess, and jobs and ancestors. One other thing I want to say before we go, always ask your ancestors about jobs. They do want you to have employment because you need to make that money to, you know, keep on breeding.
Love and jobs. They want you to be loved with some, you know, your ideal lover and get a good job.
That's right. All right, guys.
You know that.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.